Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the 3 o'clock hour, well, you're hearing the broadcast live, and we would love to have you join us and pose your question or your particular topic of interest. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. The lines are open right now. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's good to be back in studio today. Yeah. Yesterday I was out officiating the funeral of Gina, my wife's granddad, Tommy Milton Farr, and so that was a very special time for the family, rejoicing over him being with the Lord and celebrating his life together. Those funerals are always interesting to me, just being able to, again, look at the hope that we have in Christ, you know, as Peter wrote, that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, that resurrection changes everything.
Sure does,
and it's really the linchpin of the gospel message. Without it, we're without hope. We're still dead in our sins. We're to be pitied above all people. But with it, everything changes. We have hope, a genuine hope, something that can get us through thick and thin, something that can enable us to actually celebrate and not be afraid when a loved one like that dies, passes away, and we're looking at a body in a casket. We know they're not there. We know they're absent from the body and present with the Lord, and one day that body's going to come up, a brand new body. That mortal body is going to put on immortality. It's going to be imperishable, exactly like Jesus's body. And so it's wonderful to be able to share that hope and to see that hope really strike a chord in the human heart. And that's what it does. It strikes one of the deepest chords within the human heart and really gives us a sense of peace, a calmness that God does have a plan for us. And that plan has been executed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because of what he accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection, we can have hope even at the darkest moment of life. Yeah. And death is that moment. But boy, he conquered sin and death once and for all. Death doesn't have any mastery over him. And because of that, we have nothing to fear. Those chains of fear that death brought to us, they've been broken through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel with the good news, and you can rest assured that someone told Mr. Farr about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you've ever wanted to tell someone about Jesus but shrunk back, afraid you'd mess up the chance or didn't know exactly where to begin, well, we have help for you. It's a multi-CD teaching series called Be a Voice, and it was created to show you how to share the good news and be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a Voice will be our gift to you when you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And all you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net and click Donate or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Make your donation today and learn how you, too, can be a voice of confidence for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, click Donate at basicgospel.net or make your gift by phone at 844-322-2742. If you live outside the U.S. or Canada, PayPal is your best opportunity to donate to Basic Gospel. It is Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're with us today, everybody. And we have a question here that came in, and I am trying to pull it up on my screen right now, and I will get to it in just a moment, I do believe. Yes, this is from Jose in Tampa, Florida. He says, is the fear of the Lord a fear like fear of death or like fear of an abusive father? I've had it taught this way, but I don't know that the Bible says there's no fear in love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Also, is the Holy Spirit a feeling like a fire? When I go to church, everyone speaks in tongues, and they say that's the evidence of the Spirit. Can you clarify all this for me?
Well, two good questions there. I think it's the proverb says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
That's a reverence, you know, recognizing who he is. I mean, we're not talking about the big man upstairs. We're not talking about a Santa Claus figure. We're not talking about, a friend, so to speak. We're talking about God who spoke and the universe came into being. Yeah. We're talking about a God who defeated sin and death. We're talking about a God who is all powerful, who is present everywhere, who has, you know, the treasures of wisdom Everything belongs to him. He holds this world together, and he can snuff it out at any moment, and yet he chooses to deal with us in love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. So a fear of God is that type of fear. It's a reverence. It's a worshipful type of fear. It's like a fear of the ocean. I mean, that's a big thing out there. And yeah. If we're not careful, that can swallow us up. So we have to have a good, sobering fear of what the ocean is. The same thing with God. Now, the fear that he was referencing in 1 John chapter 4, perfect love cast out fear, that's a fear of punishment. That's a fear that is brought about by the guilt of sin. So when Adam and Eve sinned, when they chose to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the first thing they did was to hide from God. I mean, they sowed some fig leaves and then they hid from God. And God asked, "Where are you?" And said, "We were hiding." Why? Because we were afraid. So sin, their choice to choose independence instead of dependence, to choose death instead of life, put this fear deep within their hearts. They were fearful of God, fearful of punishment from God, because God said, "The day you eat, you will surely die." Now, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually.
Yes.
They were separated. They lost their spiritual life. They lost that relationship with God the Father. Now, that fear is inherent in all of us. We come into this world naturally afraid of God. We're fearful of his punishment. And so that's what he says, perfect love. And where was that love demonstrated? It was demonstrated for us at the cross. God demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We see that same thought talked about in 1 John chapter 4, that this is love, that God sent Jesus to take away our sins once and for all, to be the propitiation for our sins. That love cast out the fear of punishment. And that's what John said. Love cast out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. When we recognize that Jesus took our sins upon himself, that he died in our place, then we realize the punishment for our sins has already been handled. It's already been dealt out. Jesus gladly took it for us so that we could be set free from sin and death. So that love, the love that was demonstrated so vividly, so clearly, and in such a tangible way at the cross of Jesus Christ, that love cast away the fear that's in us that relates to punishment for sin. Now, as far as the question about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of feeling. Is it just something that enables us to speak in tongues? You were talking a lot about that yesterday, about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that I think we really need to understand, that if we're going to be involved in ministry, if we're going to be a voice, that if we're trying to do it apart from the energizing work of God's Spirit in our lives, it's just going to fall empty.
Yes.
It's not going to be of value to building the kingdom of God. So our work, as far as ministry is concerned, being a voice needs to be done with the presence of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. When we're born again, there's this union that takes place between our spirit and God's Spirit. We're one in spirit with the Lord.
Yes.
That's good news. So the presence of the Lord is with us always. And so yesterday, Richard, you were talking about the fact that we're witnesses. And the fact that we're witnesses stems from this truth that God's Spirit lives
yes.
in us. He makes us witnesses. We don't have to go and try to be witnesses. The fact that he's alive living in us makes us witnesses just based on who we are now
yes.
in Christ Jesus. Now, this isn't just a feeling. This is the third person of the Trinity coming to live inside of us. Someone with personality, someone that is relational. It's not just a force. Jehovah Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is merely a force. Well, the Holy Spirit is not just a force. The Holy Spirit is the third person within the Trinity, is a part of this Godhead that we get to worship, that we get to know through faith in Jesus Christ. And he brings power to us, the power to understand the love of God, the power to understand the message concerning Christ, the power to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. That's part of the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to minister out there in the world, then we need the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the love of God so that we can bring that love to people everywhere. Yes. We can show how it was demonstrated in the work of Christ. We can show how God's love brings about forgiveness and reconciliation and identity to those who are lost and dead and need of life. So the power of the Holy Spirit gives us this understanding of the love of God, and then the wisdom of the Holy Spirit really attaches us to the person and work of Christ. So we were going to read earlier from Colossians, and Paul writes this, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So effective ministry has to be done through wisdom and knowledge. Well, the Holy Spirit attaches us to the wisdom that is found in Christ. It's his job to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us. Well, as he's making the things of the Lord Jesus known to us, he's making the wisdom and the treasures of knowledge of God known to us. Why? Because they are bound up in the person and work of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. The Holy Spirit isn't something that makes us do goofy things. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is the one that brings life to us. He's the one that guides us into all truth. He's the one that really enhances this relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Jose, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Good questions from Jose. Friends, I want to remind you that wherever you go, whatever you do, you can take us with you with the Basic Gospel app. Like all apps, of course, it's available in the App Store. We hope you'll take advantage of it. You can literally pose a question through the app as well, and some of our listeners have done that. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial, and if you're hearing the broadcast still in the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, we want to hear from you. Time on the clock and open lines, 844-322-2742. Bob, yesterday I threatened Richard that I was going to pose this question. He said he was ready for it. So this is from Jen. She says, "If you were sitting in church and heard a statement from the pulpit like there was strength and power in a woman's long hair, could you show me a scripture in God's word that supports this statement?"
I don't know that I can.
I can make one up.
That's right. That's right. We know there was strength in the long hair of Samson.
Yeah.
That when he had that cut, he lost his power. He lost his strength. But it was primarily because he went against God's instructions to him. So power isn't bound up in hair and those sort of things. Power is bound up in God himself. And when we are listening to God, trusting God, then that power can be unleashed in and through us in any way God so chooses. And that just happened to be kind of the secret, the mystery for Samson's strength.
Yes.
Now, as far as women are concerned, it talks about in 1 Corinthians that they're not to cut their hair and that that's, a blessing of God and they're to cover that. But I don't know that it has power invested in him.
Now, what Paul was talking about, and that's 1 Corinthians 11, what he was talking about there is all of these women who had gotten saved in Corinth and had been temple prostitutes. And one of the common practices for the temple prostitutes is that they shaved their heads. And so Paul was saying, in order to protect them and to protect the body, cover their heads while their hair grows back out. It was just as practical and kind as could be. There was nothing misogynist about it.
Right.
Paul wasn't picking on women. What he was doing was enabling them to be a full-fledged members of the body of Christ and not have to deal with the external shame of their former way of life. They were forgiven. They were children of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he wanted everybody to be able to focus on that instead of their history.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And so if you're in a church service and they're talking about those things, there's power in your hair and all of that, whatever it might be, I think you really have to take a really deep look into the overall theology doctrine that is being taught from the pulpit.
Yes.
Because there is this movement afoot, and it's been afoot since the very beginning of time, but over the last 2,000 years and really over the last 100 years, it's all about us. The story is all about us, the power that we can have, the great things that we can do. There's even a book out there titled I Am. Now, I Am is not Jesus. He is the one who claimed to be the great I Am, identifying himself as the God of the Old Testament. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. All of these wonderful things that Jesus claims about himself, well, this book is moving those things away from Jesus and putting them squarely on us. So we make the assertion, I am this, I am that. Well, that's not the story of the gospel. That's not the story of Jesus. So whenever you're in a situation where, you know, the power is being deflected away from God and onto you, saying, hey, you can do the same things that God did. You can be the I am. You can be this. You can be that. You can be all of these other things. It's really a subtle version of what was given in the garden, where Satan said to Adam and Eve, you can be like God.
Yes.
So that's had, you know, just hundreds and thousands of different twists to it. But when you really get down to the nitty gritty, it's the same story being pushed off here and there. It can be pushed off in positive thinking movements. It can be pushed off into religious settings. It can be pushed off into corporate settings. It's still the same story, people trying to be like
Yes.
God. Well, we're not supposed to be like God. We're simply supposed to reflect God's image out there in the world. And the only way that we reflect God's image out there in the world is when we embrace the fact that we're humans, that we have been created, and that our most magnificent, most magnanimous role is to live in dependence upon Yes. our Creator.
Yeah.
And when we live in dependence upon our Creator, we experience our fullness as human beings. And we live out our fullness and purpose in reflecting the very life and light and love of our Creator.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, you've tuned to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. We deeply appreciate every one of you, our listener friends, who give to keep this good news on the air, the good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. If you haven't already done so, we invite you to join with us in this blessing of giving and help Basic Gospel to continue to be a voice both on the airwaves and online. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And we're going to send you a copy of an empowering CD series that will teach you how to be a voice for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Surrey, British Columbia, and talk to Doreen. Doreen, you are Hi. On the air.
Hi, Doreen.
Hi. I was one of those people who was in that situation where it says, for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of his Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. And I didn't realize it said it's impossible for those who are once enlightened to do that. But I one day when I went out, something happened, and I can't doubt that it happened just like the scripture says, for if you sin willfully after you've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Of how much store of punishment should you think they should have, having trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will judge my people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But now I feel a terrible fiery presence inside of me, because I lied, and it's horrible to know that you're going to go to the pit, to the into hell. It's just a horrible thing. I'm just trying to warn people, don't ever lie at all. It's a horrible thing. Because,
well, Doreen, let me jump in here, Doreen.
God, where you've got the Holy
Spirit. Let me jump in here, Doreen. You know, this is about rejecting Christ. Those two passages really are about rejecting the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. You know, and that was certainly appropriate to the Hebrew audience that the writer of the book of Hebrews was addressing. They had lived in Judaism. They were offering sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, and these were simply sacrifices that were called shadows, pointing to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus had come. They had tasted, they had touched, they had been enlightened to what he had done in his sacrificial death, and yet they were still wavering. Should I sit on the fence? Should I go back to Judaism and say, hey, if you reject, then what other sacrifice are you going to depend upon? Yeah, you know the blood of bulls and goats is not sufficient.
Yeah, there was nothing to go back to.
That's right. You know the blood of animals is not of the same worth, the same value as that of a human being. So if you're going to reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then you have a fearful expectation of judgment. That's the willful sin. So, Doreen, I don't know, you know, where you are, but you've called before, and just based on things that you've said, you've trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ. You've trusted that once-for-all sacrifice. You're not trying to offer up another sacrifice. You're not saying, hey, this, you know, I've rejected the blood of Jesus, and you don't fit into Hebrews 6, you don't fit into Hebrews 10 based on what you've told us before. But that's what those two verses are talking about, rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what the willful sin is. That's what those two passages are all about. So they were written as warnings, but in such a way to encourage people to really embrace what Christ has accomplished once and for all through his shed blood. That's the good news. That's what these writers of the New Testament were all about, was clarifying if there was confusion about particular issues. They wanted to bring clarity, and they wanted to connect people to this good news story of Jesus Christ. There's lots of obstacles that many of us have to overcome. There are worldly obstacles. There are fleshly obstacles. There's even religious obstacles, tradition, teachings that are not based on truth, but based on human reasoning. And they want to cut through all of that so they can bring clarity and really connect people to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, you can't be one of those people that Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10 talk about.
Doreen, that's got to be really good news for you and so many of our listeners, Bob and Richard, who might have that same question. So Doreen, thank you for your call. Just about out of time, friends, but remember that Basic Gospel depends upon the generosity of you, our listeners, to keep this good news coming, both online and on the air. We hope you'll continue to help us get the good news out, and when you make your donation this month, we have a special gift for you. It's called Be a Voice, a multi-CD series to help you be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Well, again, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis, and God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.